Good morning, church.
I am excited. And I could tell that you guys are excited as well. Man, what an awesome service so far. Awesome worship. Can we give a hand once again for the worship? And let's give a hand as well for South Border. They were amazing. Man, I actually grew up in the Philippines, and I remember hearing their songs all over the place, so it was really nostalgic. So thank you, South Border. No, I'm not going to sing. Well, so this morning, I'm so excited that I get the chance to speak with you guys today and just share what God has, you know, has prepared through me, and I believe that he wants to bless every single one of us today. So can you just join me and bow down our heads and pray? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that you are a good God, that you brought us all here to this place for a purpose, God, and that you are going to do something different this morning. I pray that you would just do what only you can do in this place. May everything I say just be from you, and may I just be a mouthpiece for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to start off by doing this little activity. It's a little social project of mine, so bear with me. I'm going to say a phrase from a movie that I think is well known, and you're going to tell me what movie it is, and you're going to assure me that I'm correct, because I think most of us know this movie, all right? So the phrase is this: P. Sherman, 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney. Finding Nemo? All right. Well, most of the young people know that movie, so thank you, guys. So for those of you that aren't familiar with this movie, Finding Nemo, it's about this fish whose name is Marlin, and he loses his son, whose name was Nemo, and it was pretty much a story about finding Nemo. So along the way, during this journey, he befriends a fish named Dory. Now, Dory was unique because she suffered from memory loss and would forget everything in 10 seconds or less. So early on, I said this phrase because it's such an important phrase in the movie. They discover where Nemo was taken to, and the address was P. Sherman, 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney. So later on in the movie, Dory actually finds Nemo, but unfortunately, she suffered from memory loss and did not recognize him or remember anything about the journey. It wasn't until she saw an underwater pipe with the word Sydney on it that she recalled that memory of P. Sherman, 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney. And as she was repeating this in her head, all the memories were coming back. All the memories of what happened just started flooding back, and she remembered who Nemo was. And this was so important because it actually helped her reunite Nemo with his dad. See, by recovering her forgotten memories at the right time, she set herself up to do what she sought to do in the first place. By reclaiming what was once forgotten, she was able to get back on track to accomplish her goal. Now, I want us to see how this same principle of reclaiming what was forgotten was on full display in one of the lives of the greatest kings in the history of Judah, and his name was Josiah. So King Josiah was one of the few morally good kings in the nation of Judah. It's said that he was righteous at the sight of God. He inherited the throne after decades of evil done by his ancestors, but unlike those before him, he decided to lead the nation back to God. And it was during this time that he decided to renovate the temple. And in the middle of this process, this valuable book was discovered along the way. This book was called the Book of the Law. And this was such a valuable book that was lost sometime during the years of evil. No one knows for how long. But this book contained God's prescription for living and detailed the covenant between God and his people. See, what was forgotten was found, and it revealed decades of sin and disobedience that was committed by this nation, the nation of Judah. Now, I want us to look at how King Josiah chose to react to this revelation. In 2 Chronicles 34:27, it says this. It says, "Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God, When you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. So what did Josiah do? He humbled himself. He did not respond in arrogance or pride. He didn't make any excuses by saying, that was the generation before me and that wasn't me. But in his humility, he softened his heart to accept this newfound truth. And by acknowledging the shortcomings of his people, he and the nation turned away from their wrongdoings and renewed the covenant with God. The book of the law served as a blueprint for Josiah and the nation to guide them in bringing the nation back to God. And the same way the nation of Judah forgot about the book of the law, I believe that we as a society have forgotten a very important commandment by God. And that commandment is the command to honor. And we see this lack of honor in our society in many ways. You start in your household. You see children and parents showing a lack of honor for one another. Brothers and sisters constantly dishonoring one another. You go to your workplaces. Some of us here are guilty of this. We slander our bosses and those in positions above us. Or you go on social media, and the first thing you will probably see when you go on Facebook is someone talking smack or degrading those in authority or someone they know. See, our culture today has displayed this lack of honor, but the same way that Josiah humbled himself at the revelation of what was forgotten, my prayer for us is that we would humble our hearts to receive what the Lord will reveal to us and respond accordingly regarding this seemingly forgotten virtue. Amen? So this morning, I wanted us to look at a story to see the importance of this forgotten virtue and look at a moment in Jesus' life when he did not receive the honor that was due. It's found in Mark 6, verse 1 to 6. It says this, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these teachings, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? You see, the crowds were amazed. They were seeing all the miracles and all the knowledge and wisdom that Jesus had and were just so amazed. But then check this out. In verse 3, it says, they replied, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. You see, they realized who he was, and they realized he was just one of them. He was a familiar face, a common folk in that hometown. And verse 4 says this, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. You see here in verse 4, he uses this word, without honor. And in the original language, what this means is to be treated as common or ordinary. See, among familiar faces, a prophet is seen as someone who is common or ordinary. It didn't matter what great words of wisdom or word from God they were saying. They were seen as someone who was common, as someone who was ordinary, because they've seen his everyday life. They've probably grown up with him, and they see everything he does. And in that same way, Jesus was seen by these people as someone who was common or ordinary. Although they were aware of all the miraculous things Jesus had been doing, the people couldn't get over the fact that he was one of them. They thought that there was nothing special in him because he was just like one of them. See, their familiarity with Jesus led to a lack of honor and faith in who he truly was. It determined their view of Jesus. So instead of seeing him as this wise man, they simply saw him as a carpenter. Instead of recognizing his miracles, they saw him as the kid who grew up down the street. And in that same way, our familiarity will often lead us to display a lack of honor towards other people. Let's see, you see in like marriages, with a newlywed couple, It's, you see how they go out of their ways to sacrifice and serve one another. But as time goes on, they become so familiar with one another that they would act like they're just tolerating them and would not lift a finger to serve them. Or in your workplace, some of you have started off as hardworking employees, respectable towards your bosses, but down the line, you become lazy, you stop showing that same honor and respect towards your boss. Or maybe in your families, you're so familiar with your parents that you don't take the time to thank them for providing food and shelter every single day of your life. See, when we become so familiar with the people around us, we will default to showing a lack of honor to those who are deserving of it. Verse 5 said this, Jesus was limited in how much miracles he was able to perform, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. When we lack honor, we lack the faith in the potential of value in others. Where there's a lack of honor and faith, there was a lack of honor here. And because they lacked honor, Jesus could not display that power in his home, in that town. And church, let me tell you this, let me plead. Don't hinder God's power in your life because you're not willing to show honor where honor's deserved. Don't prevent God from moving in your families, your workplace, your community because you are showing a lack of honor. See, if we treat those around us as common or ordinary, let me tell you this, that relationship, that marriage, your family will stay as common and ordinary. But on the flip side, if a lack of honor treats others as common and ordinary, showing honor adds weight and value to them. Honor is our way of telling others that they are remarkable and extraordinary. See, where there's a lack of honor, it tears down, but when we show honor, it brings up. When you lack honor, you believe in the worst of people, but when you show honor, you say you believe in the best in a person. Lacking honor devalues, but when you show honor, you give value to that person. And as Christ followers, it is our duty to show honor to those around us. So that brings us to our first point. Why should we honor? So why is it important to show honor to those around us? What exactly makes it our duty as Christ followers to show honor? And I have a couple of reasons here. The first one is this. It's because of God's image in man. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. See, that image of God is a divine signature in the lives of those around us. And that image of or likeness of God is worth honoring in them because our God is worth honoring. There's an inherent value in every single person that is worth honoring. See, people are worthy of this honor not because of anything they could do or say. They can't add honor. They can't add value on top of that because the value comes from that image of God in them. Let me give this illustration. If you're a sports fan here in Los Angeles, you are probably familiar with this athlete by the name of LeBron James. Any fans of the Lakers in here? Yep, 7-1, baby. So I was reading this article about this LeBron James trading card. It was a rookie card that sold at this auction. And can you guys guess how much this card sold for? $270,000. So why did that card, just a single trading card, sell for that much? It's because of the image of LeBron James on that card. Let me explain. You can find the same type of card with the same rarity and the same quality, same design and everything, but if it has the image of a different athlete, that's not going to cost as much. If that trading card did not bear the image of one of the greatest athletes in history, then it would not be worth $270,000. Let me tell you this, church. You have an image in you that gives you an extraordinary value, and that in itself is worth honoring. There's nothing you can do to undermine that value of the image that God has placed in you. And there's nothing that the people around us can do to undermine their value because the image of God itself is valuable in them. every single person is worth valuing because of God's image in them. Amen? So we honor because of God's image in man. The second reason is because Jesus set that example for us. Jesus' example is the reason why we honor, because he set the example for us to follow. John 15:12 says this. This is Jesus talking. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So how exactly did Jesus show love? See, yes, he was doing miracles. Yes, he was compassionate. Yes, he was doing all these amazing things that are worthy of to say that, okay, let's follow that example. But the ultimate way that he showed his love for each and every single one of us is by dying on the cross for our sins. Through his sacrifice, he declared that you are valuable, and that value in you is worth honoring. If Jesus showed that everyone is worth honoring by giving his life for them, let me tell you this, we must show that same honor in return. You might be thinking, yes, that's great and all, but what if these people are, they're just not honorable people? What if the things they do really challenge that idea that they're so dishonorable that I firmly believe that they're not worth honoring? Well, let me tell you this. Romans 5:8 says this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning while we never got our act together, when we were still in constant sin, when we never got it together, Christ already showed his love for us by dying for us. He didn't wait for you to get things right. He simply died on the cross because he loved you. So in that same way, yes, the people around you may not be worthy of your honor. They might be acting in a way that's not honorable. But if God commands us to honor, that means we're gonna show honor no matter what. Even if they don't act like they deserve it, we are gonna show honor. Amen? He placed a value in people even though they don't deserve it. So we will honor even if it seems like they don't deserve it. So Jesus' example is why we show honor to those around us. The second point, who do we honor? So we know why we should honor, but now who exactly do we honor? Well, the first person, which might be a little obvious, I hope, is to honor God. We honor God because he is the most deserving of all honor. We honor him for who he is. He's the great I am, the everlasting God. He's the King of kings, the name above all names, and he's the sovereign Lord of all. We honor him as creator and sustainer of the universe. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." We honor him because he is our creator, and he is the one sustaining everything. We honor him as well because he is our redeemer, that he sent Christ to die for us, to deliver us of our sins and the punishment of our sins, and to be restored to him. And it didn't just stop there. After 3 days, he rose again and now is seated at the right hand of God, and that is worthy. He is worthy of our honor. We honor him because he has given us a purpose in life. In him, we have meaning, that we don't live our life wandering aimlessly through life, but instead, we live to follow him. We live to fulfill the plans that he has for us, and we live to give him honor and glory. Our reason to live is to give glory to the name of Jesus. Amen? See, God is the only one who is worthy of all our honor and praise, and when we have a clear understanding of just how great he is and what he has done for you and me, then it's just so appropriate that our appropriate response would simply be to give him the honor he deserves. Amen? So how can we give him the honor he deserves? By giving our all to him. Romans 12 says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So let's say, in view of
God's worthiness, in view of the honor he deserved, we will give our lives as living sacrifices to honor him. That everything about us, we will give it to God. Every waking moment is to God. Every thought, everything we say is for God and his glory. Every relationship, how hard you work at home, how hard you work in school or work, whatever you do, everything about our lives, we give it to God as a living sacrifice. Amen? Amen. So aside from God, the second group that we are to honor are others, everyone else. And although we are given a command to honor every single person, Scripture lists specific groups of people that we are to show honor to. And this is the first group right here. Ready for it? Okay, the first group is our parents. Amen? Parents, can I get an amen? All right, Ephesians 6 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." You see, it was one of the Ten Commandments of God. And if you sort out the Ten Commandments, it goes like this. The first four are about honoring God. The last six are about honoring people. So right in the middle, the very first commandment that's about other people is this commandment to honor our fathers and mothers. So why is that? Why did God put such a high priority in honoring our fathers and mothers? It's because your parents are going to be the first people you will encounter in life. And at the same time, they're the first people that you encounter that's worthy and deserving of our honor. And God uses them to be the first ones to develop that virtue of honor in each and every single one of us. See, it starts with your household, and it pours over to your community, it pours over to your friendships, your relationships, your workplace. It starts in the household by showing honor to your parents. They're the first people that we are to show honor to, but unfortunately, they're also the first ones that we become so familiar with. See, when we become so familiar with our parents, it's so easy to take them for granted and forget that we are commanded to show them honor. Am I right? We show this lack of honor through our words, the way we respond to our parents, that we don't talk to them like they are deserving of honor. Instead, we talk in a way sometimes that's degrading. We sometimes come off with an attitude that says, "I'm better than you," or "you don't know what you're talking about," or "you're really old school with your thinking." And no matter what, whether you're right or wrong, it doesn't change the fact that we are commanded to give honor to our parents. See, honor doesn't depend on who's right or who's wrong, or if you don't understand the situation and I do. It's simply about honoring them because they are worthy of it, and God commands us to. We honor the position that God placed in our parents. And we honor them in how we respond, by graciously responding and not talking down to our parents. We honor them by obeying, given that they are following God and it does not go against the commands of God. And we honor them by acknowledging their authority. I love how I just tangented there. I lost track of that. So, so you may be thinking, yeah, that sounds great. Yes, we are to be, to honor our parents, but what about when our parents are not honorable? See, that's great if your parents are following God and you're raised in a Christian household, but what if our parents are not that? What if our parents have wronged us so much and have hurt us so much that I cannot give honor to them? You want the hard truth? We are to still show honor because it's right. Because of our submissive hearts towards God, we are honoring them because we are submitting our lives to God. We choose to honor our parents because it's what God would want for our lives, and we want to honor this commandment. And if you really need a reason to honor your parents, at least they're the ones who brought you in this world, right? So, honor your parents, And let me change my focus to the parents real quick. So verse 4 after that says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." This word exasperate sounds fancy, but what it means is to provoke your children in anger. Listen, parents, don't make it hard for your kids to honor you. Just because they are commanded to honor you doesn't mean that you can play a role to help them out. You are the example of honor. You show them that they are, when you show them that they are valued and that they are honored, they will follow your example, and it would be so much easier for them to give you that honor in return. Instead of saying, "Man, because I told you so, don't ask any questions, just do what I say." Instead, why don't you show them honor by taking the time to explain? Instead of shutting them off, why don't you take the time to listen and hear what they have to say and what they're thinking? Because it communicates that they are valued and that they matter and that they are honored as well. Amen? So honor your parents, and parents, please help your children out with this. Be the example of honor that your children need so you can bring them up and train them up to be men and women of honor as well. Amen? The second group is our fellow Christians. We are to show honor to our brothers and sisters in the faith. Romans 12:10 says this, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Outdo one another in showing honor. You know what that tells me? That tells me I'm going to make it a competition. If someone's going to show me honor, show people honor, I'm going to outdo them. I'm going to strive to give more honor than they have. And it's not just about that we giving honor, it's about giving honor more than the person next to us. And let me give you this illustration right here. So one time I was in the drive-thru for Krispy Kreme. How many people here love Krispy Kreme? Yeah. So I ordered a dozen for myself. I'm kidding. It was actually for a youth gathering. And I ordered this dozen. I get to the cashier. And I get there, and I'm about to pay. And the person says, "You know, it's okay. The person in front of you paid for you." So I was like, "Is it too late to order more?" No, but what I did is I was thinking, you know what? I was so ready to pay already. It's no big deal. Why don't I just pay for the person next to me and do the same? And the person in front of me was so amazed. I mean, the cashier was so amazed, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Wow." And I was just like, you know, it's what we do as Christ followers, amen? We give because Christ gave first, amen? And Pastor Allen did such a wonderful job last Sunday about teaching us the value of giving. And so I went off. I don't know what happened to the person behind me. Maybe he did the same thing and started paying for the next person, or maybe he just drove off and said, "Cool, free donuts." But it got me thinking, what would it look like? I'm just imagining it in my head. If after I left and paid, that person was so grateful and just paid for the next person, and it just kept going on that the next person would pay, and the next person would pay, and the next person would pay, and it would just be such an amazing thing to see that people were just being so generous, and I was just thinking about that, and it was such an awesome sight to think. I didn't see it, I thought of it. And let me ask you this question, church. What would it look like if we strive to outdo one another in showing honor? That you were the first one to show honor to the person you see when you walk in that door, that you constantly try to outdo everyone in honor. Maybe on a Sunday when you walk in the door and you see someone handing you a pamphlet, you say, "Thank you for serving me today." Someone opens the door for you. One of the ushers opens the door and you say, "Thank you for serving me today." You thank every single person who is a part of this community. When you go pick up your kids after service, maybe you could go to them and say, "Thank you for taking care of my kids. I know they're a pain, but thank you. Thank you so much for your sacrifice." Or maybe in your life groups, you're the first one who would encourage the person next to you, that you would build them up and say you are honored in however way you want to do that. And you just show this appreciation. And see, church, when we do that, if every single person in here strive to outdo one another in honor, let me tell you, it's going to be amazing. It will spur each and every one of us and encourage us to do the same. And when we create an honorable environment, people who come in who don't know Jesus will see what we're doing and say, hey, there's something different about this community. There's something different about this church family. I don't know what it is, and that's our opportunity to say that we honor because we were first honored by God. And let me introduce you to Him. We show honor to our brothers and sisters in the faith by striving to outdo one another in honor. And I want to take this time real quick to honor some of you here who are really special and appreciated. It is Veterans Day this weekend. So if there's any veterans in the room, can you please stand up so we could just give you the honor you deserve? Any veterans in this room? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your sacrifice and your service. You guys are honored, and we honor you this morning. So we honor one another. We strive to outdo one another in showing honor. Amen? This third group is authority. People in authority over our lives. Romans 13 says this, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Jumping to verse 7, it says to pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. See, all positions of authority is placed there by God. We honor the position because God has placed that appointed people to that position, and it's all through Him. So how do we do this? Let's start locally. We, in your workplaces, we honor and submit to those above us, our supervisors, our bosses. We show them the honor that they deserve because of their position. And maybe you're thinking, you don't know my boss. You want me to honor my boss? Have you seen my boss? You don't work with him 5 days a week. He's terrible. I could do better than her. We don't honor them because of what they do. We honor the fact that God placed them in a position above us. And we don't tear them down by thinking, I'm better than them. They should do this somewhere else. Instead, we build them up and show honor. And we give them our complete support because that's the position that God put for them in our lives. Colossians 3:23 says this, that we work because we serve the Lord and not human masters. So when you work hard, when you buy into what you do, when you show up on time, when you give your best, you're not working for that boss. You're not working for yourself or your income. You're working to honor God. And another way locally is we honor local authority. We honor the police. We honor, you know, our governors, we honor our mayor, we honor those in local authority. Church, we're not gonna be a 90s hip-hop group that raps about disgracing the police. We are Christ followers that choose to honor God by honoring our local government. We set the example as law-abiding citizens because that's the authority and the position God placed. In that same way, we honor nationally. We honor those in national public offices. But what about, this is tricky because we will not always agree with everything our national authority does. What happens when we don't agree? 1 Timothy 2 says to do this. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Church, if you don't agree with what's going on, our response is to pray. pray for those in authority. Church, we're not going to be the first people to go on Facebook and post something dishonorable because we don't agree with them. Instead, we will be the first people to get on our knees and trust our sovereign Lord that He is in control. Amen? Whether we agree with authority, we honor them graciously, and we honor them by acting graciously and respectfully towards them and lifting them up in prayer. This last group here is our church leaders. We honor our church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says this: "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of what?
Double
honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." See, church, your pastor deserves double honor. So when you see Pastor Allen, Pastor Boyett, or Pastor Fred at after service, shake their hand twice, because that's double. Because God gave them such a demanding task, we are to give them double the honor, because they give their lives for us, to take care of us, to watch over His flock, and help us grow in God. It's such a demanding and important calling on their lives, so that is worthy of double the honor. So we give them this honor through our commitment to them. Whether it's through support, through our resources. I love what Pastor Allen gave last Sunday about of total giving, whether it's your time, your talents, your money, you give that and support their vision, and that support that vision that God placed in their hearts. We submit to their decisions regarding the church and how to run the church. I know we're in a time where so many things are going on, but church, if we honor our pastors just as Christ told us to, that means we will support whatever they decide wholeheartedly, that we will not talk back and talk bad about it, but instead we'll say, we support you, and whatever God has placed in your heart to do, we will support that 100%. We submit as well to their authority in our lives. They teach us Christian conduct. They teach us how to live a life that is godly and a life that is pleasing to God. And let me tell you this. It's already hard to come in here to tell you how to live your life. No one likes that. It's really difficult. But we do this not because we want to control you. We don't do this because we want to make you our puppets and tell you how to live your life. No, we tell you what Scripture says and what God teaches, because it is right in the sight of the Lord that your pastors, God has placed such a calling in their lives that is so heavy, but all they're trying to do is do what's right in the sight of God. So submit to their authority over your lives. Submit to the teachings that they share and just what they say about you and what they guide you to. Amen? We submit to God by honoring all these people. So that leads us to our third point. How do we honor? We know we should honor. We know who to honor. But now, how do we honor? And church, it's amazing that we're in a series right now called The Gratitude Project. That we as a community, we're doing this project, meaning we're going to be acting towards this, that we're going to do something all together as a community. So if you have your bulletins, we'll go to the back, and it says this right here. It's the Gratitude Project, Week 2 Project. And what we're going to do is we're going to show our gratitude to the people around us by showing honor where honor is due. So if you look, the first group here is honor and appreciate your father. Now, these things are very general, very vague, because it's an open door for you to honor them however you want to honor them. If you want to honor them through a gift, through writing a letter, or you want to make dinner for them, however you want to do it, honor your father. And in the same way, we put them in separate days so that they individually get honored. To honor your mother, and just show that however you want to do it. Maybe you're here today and you don't have both your parents, or your parents have passed, or your parents are not with you anymore, then honor their memory. If you never grew up with two parents and only have one, you're raising a single household, well, guess what? Your single parent is deserving of double honor today. And if people in your life were father figures, you didn't have a father growing up or a mother, and they were father and mother figures in your life, guess what? This is your opportunity to show them honor as well. Third one is to write a note of thanks to a teacher who made an impact in your life. It could be someone you know from high school or college. Maybe it's a mentor here in the church or a mentor outside of the church who took you under their wings. To show your appreciation and honor them by saying thank you for the lessons that they've instilled in your life. Next one is to celebrate someone's accomplishment this year, whether it's a graduation, a promotion, marriage, having a first child, having a first grandchild, whatever accomplishment it is, go out of your way and celebrate them. It could have happened a while back, but just say, hey, I never got a chance to honor you. So here I am trying to show you honor, the honor you deserve by celebrating what accomplishment you've made this year. And this is, the next one is to appreciate a veteran. And I know lots of you are going to be doing that tomorrow maybe. So go out of your way to see a veteran in your community, a veteran in your church, in your household, a relative, whoever it is. Go appreciate them for the sacrifice and service that they have done. This one, pastors probably were very excited for. It's to appreciate a ministry leader in your church. And this is not exclusive to pastors. Whether it's a ministry leader, what maybe you serve in the worship ministry and your worship leaders, whether you serve in hospitality and ushering, you have leaders there as well, or in kids ministry, you have different leaders there as well. Or in your life groups, you may have your life group leaders. Show appreciation for them. And the last one, oh, this is fun. It's to honor God next Sunday by coming to church on time. Amen? So, growing up, I learned this virtue of punctuality, and I learned it through a song, and I can never forget this. It goes, if you're on time, you're already late, but if you are early, then you're on time. So, church, I want us to do this. I got the okay from the pastors. If you have a pen with you, right next to that section, I want you to write this down. 10:25 a.m. Church, I want us to be a church that is on time by being early, and we could do this all together and keep each other accountable. So not 10:25, you're parking and just making your way in. 10:25, let's see each other here in the sanctuary. And you know what? When people see you here at 10:25, you're telling them that you honor God, that He is worth your time and worth waking up 5 minutes earlier. Amen? Amen. Who's excited to do this week? Yeah? Amen. Honor is such an important thing. That honor is one of the greatest ways we can show our appreciation to those around us. It's one of the greatest ways we can show our gratitude, not just for people, but for God as well. And some of us here have fallen short of that standard of honor. And some of you here, maybe you're in this place and you don't feel like you're honored. Maybe you're in this place and you didn't know that there was such a value in your life, that you're hearing about this idea of honor and how God honored you, but you did not know that. Church, let me tell you, if you're in this room and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not valued, guess what? God values you. He honored you and put a price in you that is worth more than anything this world can offer. So I'm going to make two calls this morning. This first call is for those of you who maybe you're hearing this lesson, this message on honor for the first time, and you're seeing this idea of Jesus who honored us, and you're thinking, man, I don't know this Jesus, but what you're telling me is stirring something in my heart, and I'm recognizing that I need Him. See, Romans 3:23 that says that we all fall short of the glory of God, that we are all sinners, but Romans 5:8 tells us, like I said, that while we were sinners, Christ died for you and me. That he valued you before you even knew what value meant. So if you're in this room today and you want to say yes to that invitation of God, that Jesus is inviting you to live a life that is worth honoring, a life that is worth it, a life of value, and that invitation is open to whoever, says whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you in this room and you're saying, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to experience this life with him and for him. If that's you in this room, just by show of hands, no one's looking except me, who here wants to say yes to this invitation? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Praise you, God. Anyone else want to say yes to this invitation to follow Christ? Praise you, Jesus. So let's do this, church. As a family, as a community, can you repeat after me as we say this prayer of dedication? Jesus, I come to you as I am, a sinner needing a Savior. I acknowledge that you took my place, that you died on the cross for my sins, but you rose again. And now I could spend eternity with you. I believe in what you've done and who you are. So today, I commit my life to you. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, can we give a hand to those who prayed that this morning?